Go for it.
Okay, so I'm here. I'm live with the only funny female comedian in the world, Leonardo Joni. It's great to have you on the show. Been a fan, not so secret fan for a couple years. I've caught you on Twitter. I've liked your comedy bits. I liked the interview you did Pool. We've just been sort of following, chatting occasionally throughout the years, but it's great to have you on the show. So welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I'm happy to be here with my ethnic enemy, the
50% yes.
Serb.
We are supposed to be at war. Well, this is why America is a true melting pot, because Serb, yeah. All kinds of Balkan peoples can come here and engage in like organized crime together. And,
I got to say, that is like a nice thing that happens here is I've had a couple of people come to my shows and they come up to me and they go, yeah, my dad's Serbian or whatever. They go, we fucking love you. They know I'm Albanian and they don't even understand why they're supposed to hate me. You know what I mean? And one time I was in Texas, in the middle of Texas, and I saw this like Balkan restaurant. I was like, ooh, in Texas? So I go in and I'm looking around. I'm like, this is the wrong Balkan, because I realize it's a Serbian guy who owns it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he starts talking to me and I go, yeah, I'm from Montenegro or whatever. And then he starts talking to me in Serbia. I go, I'm your mortal enemy. I'm Albanian. And he just was like, I am so happy to talk to someone from where I come from, because I'm not allowed to go back to my country. I think he was a criminal. So
yeah, that happens. But yeah.
He's like, I'm not allowed to go back to my country. And whenever I see anybody, come sit. I want you to have food. He gave me lunch for free, this dessert for, I wanted to pay him, you know, because I wanted to support him. But he was just literally so happy to see somebody from his side of the world. I go, wow, man, people can really bury the hatchet when they come here, unless of course they're Pakistanis and Sikhs, in which case they will carry out their tribal warfare to
yeah
the end.
Well, I mean, you know, you go to London and, you know, it's like the blacks, it's like they're still doing, they're running machete fights on the streets of London, you know what I mean? But like, yep. So yeah, but white people, yeah. And again, the thing is the Balkan conflict, I mean, I could talk about, I don't think it's interesting to people, but it is sort of, the U.S. bombing Serbia sort of did politicize me, sort of got me, and I still think that was wrong, but we don't need to fight about it, but you know. I'm not like butthurt about that anymore. It's like I blame the United States, I blame NATO, I blame Zog for the conflict in the first place. Not that there isn't people mad at each other. Not that there haven't been people mad at each other for a long time, but the escalation and the place that it got taken to, I blame Zog for that. But
I'll actually be interested to pick your brain about that maybe off air because I don't know the Zog hand in it, and so I've always wondered, because I'm like,
I mean,
but
there's statues to Bill Clinton in Kosovo. You know, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. But hey, if you ever want to own a Serbian that's invested in a conflict, I'll tell you what you say.
Yeah, let's
tell hear it. Tell him Georgi Martinovich did it to himself, and see how mad they get. Now they'd have to be old to know what I'm talking about, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I don't even know if I
don't know.
Tell
I don't
you.
Know All what right. you're talking about, but I'm going to say it.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's kind of gross. It's a Serb farmer in the 80s went to the hospital with like a bottle in his ass, and he said that Albanian Kosovars did it to him, and they said no, he was doing it to himself. The Soviets actually concluded that he probably did it to himself because they were in charge at the time. So
yeah.
But there was like there was riots over this. There was like protests. They're like, in memory of Georgie.
Georgie was just into anal play.
Apparently, you know, but I actually don't have an opinion one way or the other on it. I think it's just fucking funny, and like, but they,
yeah.
But again, it's you know, if he did it to himself, it's kind of embarrassing. So you know, blame the Kosovars. Let's just go after them, right? But yeah, so I don't have any sort of butthurt about that. But yeah, it definitely the thing was instigated and exacerbated by Zog. Not that there isn't real butthurt, there is. But hey, look, I think white people need to get over butthurts with each other. We have much bigger enemies to deal with.
That's my big point of view about things is when white people start getting into inter-tribal conflict, I'm like, hey guys, together we're 8% of the world's population. Right. And they want to kill all of us.
Yeah.
they don't make a distinction. You know, when I was growing up in the Bronx, because some people like to come out and be like, Albanians aren't white. Well, that's interesting, because when I was growing up in the Bronx and I was getting sexually harassed by blacks and Latinos, they weren't like, oh,
yeah,
look at that ethnic, maybe non-white girl. They were like, oh, look at la gringa, look at the blonde, yeah, look at the snow bunny. They classified me as that white girl.
Well, you look white to me.
So if they classified me as that white girl, then guess what? That's the team that I'm on.
I actually have another Albanian friend, and we also just agreed not, you know, he's pro white, like, you know, like we are, he's got our same viewpoints. And so we just don't talk about it. Oh, we did talk about it. It's just, we decided it didn't matter because, like, yeah. And particularly here and particularly now, but yeah, white people, the thing is, you can see how,
particularly now when we're being hunted down, literally like dogs. I mean, that poor Irina Zarutska.
Yeah.
Did the black guy who slit her throat realize that she was a Ukrainian immigrant who had nothing to do with the historical oppression? No. He had the Zog's propaganda words going through his brain about how all white people are evil. You got to kill white people to get revenge. Even if you would have told him before that, hey, she's an immigrant, she has nothing to do with this, you think he would have stopped? So what are we doing?
You know,
what are we doing that we're creating these divisions when the enemy doesn't see them with us?
Right. And, you know, it's funny because it's like, you see, though, how petty distinctions and buttheads can happen. Because look at what's happening, like, right now, you know, online, even, like, ideological issues are causing problems, are causing fights. And it's so fucking stupid. But you can see how this happens, like, how people will always fight with the thing like next to them that's slightly different. Like, you seem, and I've been guilty of this myself, that seems, yeah, it seems like really important, like the vanity of small differences, I guess they call it. But there are much bigger fish to fry, but that won't stop me from getting, but the Groypers though.
Well, so here, let's talk about that, right? Because this is a really good segue into that.
That's what I was kind of doing.
I agree. I know, I saw what you do it. I agree that there are a lot of times people will post things that are, they're on our side, but there's something that I don't agree with in there. I just bite my tongue because I'm like, it's not important. It's really not important. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. That's the truth. But I specifically made a decision early on not to counter signal people who are fighting for the cause, because they don't do it on the other side.
Yeah.
They have a great big unifying blanket where they're literally having people who are mortal enemies. Like, Indians hate black people, but they're like playing into the racial grievances so they can get power. So I'm like, if we don't even have that on this side and we're going to fight these small ideological battles, it doesn't make sense. You deal with that after you're in power, dude. You don't deal with that before. So with the Fuentes thing, and I've said this before to people, I said, I will never counter signal anybody who's genuinely on our side. But if I ever suspect that somebody is in here actually to be detrimental to the movement, I will 100% use my voice to speak out, because that is a liability.
Yeah.
That is not infighting. That is saying, hey, we have a traitor amongst our midst.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, like, now, I don't know very much about Dan Bilzerian. I followed him. I've been following him just on Twitter. I like that he ratios Jews and he tells them to shut the fuck up and, like, calls them evil, and that's great. Like, and I'm totally in agreement with him on that stuff. But I just sort of, the thing is, you know, it's sort of funny about this thing, the way this fight is panned out. Because I'm kind of out of it. Like, we kind of do our own thing in our little corner. I try not to engage too much. And yeah, I don't really ever talk about Fuentes. I mean, hardly ever. It's funny because people came, since I started talking about it, like the last couple of days, people coming in like, you're always just shitting on him. It's like, what do you? I haven't talked about this kid. I shouldn't say kid. He's a grown man. He's an adult. He's a 30-year-old man. But I remember him when he was a kid. And I haven't talked about him in like years. We don't make a thing of it. We do our content. I understand what we say, like, does get under a lot of people's skin. Sometimes it's like brutal truths are hard to take sometimes. But
that's what,
you know,
it is.
What we say. But, you know, now I decided, you know, like, I've heard this shit before. This, like, you guys are talking about it. You got it. First of all, okay. Don't come and talk about what is or is not good optics and sell Jeffrey Epstein zip ups, like three-quarter zip tees or whatever. Like, don't tell me that. Like, I saw a post yesterday where the guy is lecturing about, like, Dan Bilzerian saying, like, kill Israelis or something, which I'm like, so what? Like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, I post videos of Israelis getting blown up on my channel until they get, like, banned, you know? Like, I posted, just the other day, I posted a video of a bunch of Jews getting hit with drones in Lebanon, and I'm like, good for, you know, good for them, good for the Lebanese. And, banned, like, it gets taken down, right? But, so, like, don't talk to me about that shit. Like, and like, it's like, oh, you, that decent people wouldn't, dude, who is decent? Who is, tell me who's decent in this fucking society, in this world, in this country? Who's decent? Well, you're so, now you're worried about decency? And then the next thing you do is you go out and you're telling people, buy this Jeffrey Epstein zip sweatshirt or whatever. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Get out of here.
Tell me how he's worried about optics when he is on his podcast telling people to rape, kill, and die for Nick Fuentes. What's your optics angle there? What's your optics angle?
They're incels. They can't rape. They're not, like, they're a bunch of fucking twerps, too. They're a bunch of, like, little twerps.
But it's all a lie. Yeah. It's all doublespeak. This is, like, very typical for narcissistic psychopaths to use your own values against you when they themselves are not abiding by them. And so all that stuff needs to be punted back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they accuse Dan of not having good optics, it's like, what do you think we're doing here? What do you think the battle's going to be against Zog? You think it's going to be like a peaceful, oh, okay, you guys want to be free so you can go? Is that what you think is going to happen?
Well, you just vote your way out of it, even though, like, the Republican Party is completely controlled by
Israel. That's not what's going to happen. But right now, we have absolutely no power because they control all the systems of power. They control our police force. They control our military. They control our government. So Dan's doing the right thing, which is running for an office that he thinks he can win, to take out one of the biggest whales that is going to send a sign to all the Americans watching that says these people are not impenetrable.
Yeah. I mean,
gather your resources.
There's just the other funny thing is, like, what's going to happen if you, it's like they talk about it like there's some risk here. Like, oh, we can't, like, what's the fucking risk?
Yeah. What is the risk?
What's the bad thing that's going to happen? Like, I say I, like, go out and I say, Dan Bilzerian, I hope he wins. I can't vote in Florida, that district, obviously, but I could tell people, like, he's cool, he's funny, he says the right thing, I like him, go vote for him. What have I given up? And let's say he doesn't win. Now what? Oh, no, wow, I look terrible, right? Oh, my gosh, the worst thing ever. Now we're just where we were before. Like, except he mounted this campaign, and lots of people saw it. He's real popular online. He's got a lot of money. He's got a big voice. And what is the thing here that I'm supposed to be? Where's the thing that could be wrong, that could go wrong here? What's the thing that's going to be? It just doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Because it's a lie. It doesn't make sense because it's a lie and it's a cover story. And we know it's a lie and it's a cover story because Nick Fuentes backed Laura Loomer, who got, like, a pitiful percentage of the vote.
Yes.
There was no chance of her winning.
Yeah.
Then he tried to tell people at the last minute that we're supporting Kamala Harris, and this is how we're going to pay back the Republicans. And when that didn't work out, Nick didn't, just like a typical narcissist, he pretended that somehow this was all part of the plan with no explanation. So this is classic gaslighting and narcissism. I'm using these terms so that people can understand what they're dealing with. Because if you don't understand that you're dealing with a narcissistic psychopath, you think you're arguing with somebody in good faith. And then you get all confused.
Yes. That's the number one thing, and I talk about this when talking to Jews as well, because it's basically at this point, it's the same kind of thing, is that this is not someone, like, don't show your own, like, don't let them, as you said, don't let them use your values against you, don't let them get you caught up in like making justifications for yourself. Like, they're the one that's doing wrong. Like, you don't need to just, and like the whole thing with Dan, what Dan comes out with Dan, right? Like the 12% Jewish thing. Right now, I'm just going to support him. I'm going to support him. And people want to ask me, like, oh, so now we have to support every 12. You don't have to support. No, there's no rule. I'm making admittedly unprincipled exception here for reasons of my own. Like, I don't need to explain why I'm supporting him. It's obvious. And that doesn't mean, no, every guy who's 12% Jewish gets a pass. I'm not giving out passes. I'm not giving out passes. This guy is doing what's right.
Bobby Fischer was 100% Jewish. And he constantly...
He would have denied it. I actually think he was only half. I think he was only half, but that's fine.
Okay, fine. 50%. But what did he do? He constantly called out the corruption within Jewish supremacy.
Right.
So people and everybody on the right loves him, uses him.
That's
for
true. Yeah, I love him. I love Bobby Fischer.
But all of a sudden, and that's the other thing too. This is where you want to talk about low IQ anti-Semitism. That's low IQ anti-Semitism. To act as if the reason that we oppose Jewish supremacy and Jewish oligarchy is because it's Jewish and not because of the behavior that's in it.
Right.
It's not because of some stupid, you've got this DNA, so we must hate you for it. It's, hey, we're noticing that people of this DNA keep doing these things that are incredibly harmful. What we object to is the harmful destruction of our country and the enslavement of our people so that you can have Jewish hegemonic power and control of the world.
Right.
If a full-blooded Jew comes out and goes, this is wrong, and here's what we're going to do to fight it, right? We are going to be right to be skeptical of them. But if they go through the test and they and it's like proof, no, this person is like real, we don't oppose them just because they're Jewish. It's like mentally ill.
I would say, though, like, I would hesitate in almost any case because I would be right.
That's
well,
right. You would hesitate because we've gotten tricked so many times by these things, right?
Right.
So somebody who's 12%, like who never even identifies, isn't welcome in that group. Even Hitler said a 12% would be considered a full-blooded German. He has a great grandparent. I mean, he's about as Jewish as Elizabeth Warren is Native American.
Right. Well, the thing is, here's my thing. This is what I said about when I said unprincipled exception. Like, because I will acknowledge that I am making an exception in this case, and I don't need to explain it. Like, and I'm not going to let somebody, these people, come and tell me, like, try and use, well, you're an anti-Semite, now you have to be against this guy. No, I don't. Now, if he was a full-blooded Jew, that would be different. I am actually against any working with someone who's 100% Jewish, and I don't really care what they say because I've seen how they subvert everything. And in the end, you will see, and the thing is, I've never seen it not happen, that even, like, you know, people complain, like, the Palestine movement, right? Like, that is run by Jews in America, and it is. And it is. And look at what they've done for it, right? All they do is they make it, like, odious, and they make people hate it, and they turn it into this annoying protest thing where people are screaming this stupid crap. Meanwhile, in actual Palestine, they're, like, blowing up tanks with RPGs, which is something I fully, completely support. And so, like, you know, like, but I got into the Palestine movement, like, you know, 25 years ago when I was young, and I left it because of this shit, because it was all run by Jews. And so it's like you see
but
how
see,
they can subvert
then,
and take over. And these people, there will be people who are worried about the genocide of Palestinians that will say that anti-Semitism is a terrible thing. I'm like, you are defeating yourselves. You are defeating yourselves with that. And in Palestine, they don't do that shit. In fact, people that do that shit that have been banned from Gaza doing that shit.
But, see, even your hesitation around if there was a full-blooded Jew who came out and said this is based on historical experience.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right? It's not based on – my point is like it's low IQ anti-Semitism to say what they are saying on their side because that's exactly like – I forgot who it was. There was a couple of what's that guy named? He looks like Count Chocula. He was part of like the TPUSA, and I forgot his name. But basically, he made a tweet. He looks like a vampire, Josh or something like that. It doesn't matter. He came out and made some kind of tweet. He made a tweet that anti-Semitism is inherent in European DNA. So he's trying to make it seem like it's this like illness that like a kind of deformity that comes with it. And it's like, actually, no, it's being caused by your behavior. So when you say like, I don't trust a full-blooded Jew, even if they say all our talking points, it's not because you've got some illness. It's because you've watched it. The subversion
happen
multiple times, which is like, hey, you know, you guys are spending all you want to end. Supposedly you want to end anti-Semitism, which I don't believe. I think it actually gives you more power, but you're not interested in actually finding out why people feel this way, because
they already
you
know.
Actually,
they already know. They're just lying. Like they are following a specific strategy. And yes, a certain amount of anti-Semitism is good for them, but not enough. Not so much that they actually have power taken from them. So they want.
I agree.
They want some of it because they want the sympathy points in the Holocaust and all that crap. But they don't want people to actually be anti-Semitic enough. Like, why are the Nazis always the one that they... Because they mounted a movement that actually removed them from power. It's the only movement in 20th century history that did it. It's the only successful revolutionary movement that actually worked. Like, the Bolsheviks, that was not a revolution. National Socialism was a real revolution, which, like, Marxists to this day are still ass-hurt about it. Because they didn't... Their revolution was fake. And the Nazis was real.
Yep.
But, like... But that aside, it's
but
also,
that's also
like... The other thing is another reason, though, not to trust someone, because here's the thing. They have an option to be Jewish. And even if they, because since doing like white nationalist politics, there have been Jews that have wandered in and out and they have made appeals. They've tried to be friends. And some of them I've thought maybe really did believe in what we believe in. But I never opened our thing up to them. I talked to some of them once in a while, and there were some people that I knew, I can tell you some people were taking money from them. I never did. I always refused to do that. But the thing is, they always can, if things don't go well for this thing, you never know, because they have the option to just be Jewish and just absorb themselves back into the Jewish world and then take all the benefits of that. And just tell us to fuck off. And they will do that. And that's why, you know, inevitably they all end up doing it. And I've had it. Like, there was a guy who, when he would email me, he said he was like half Jewish. And he would email me occasionally. And this is years ago. I didn't really email him back. I ignored him. But once in a while I would. And when the George Floyd protests happened, he emailed. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I just support you now. This is the white people are just getting screwed. This is terrible. This is awful. And I was like, oh, all right, whatever. I didn't think much of it. And then, like a year later, when I was still denying the Holocaust and stuff, he emails again. He's like, fuck you. You know, I regret ever saying it. And then he was posting like Zionist memes and stuff. So it's just like, yeah, like they can always just revert. And I never egged this guy on. I would mostly argue with him. But, you know, it's like, I just. That's the other thing. It's like, there's the race issue. One, they see us as a race. Like, they are actually, this is not doing like Dems are real racists, like what Republicans always
do. Right.
Jews are racists. Jews are the original racists, and they are all racist. And, you know, I don't know if you've read or if you know about Kevin MacDonald's books. If you want to read them, I suggest it. Like,
I do.
He breaks it all down, how it all works, how their ethnic strategy works, and how they see themselves as fundamentally separate. So, And this goes back to their scriptures, right? Like, I don't understand Christians have a different interpretation. I'm not going to argue that. But it can't be argued how they interpret it, right? How they read those books. And the way they read them is, we're the best. We're God chose us. We're number one. And we get to kill anybody who's not us. So given that, how are we supposed to treat people like that? Because that's exactly the thing that they say white supremacists do, Nazis do. Which wasn't really true.
Right.
Which not to say that we were
projection.
Like pussies
Classic
or
Nazis
shrinking
projection.
Violets. Not to say the Nazis weren't like badass, weren't tough guys, weren't going to kill somebody that was their enemy, weren't going to go hard at people, because they absolutely were. Like, I don't like, a lot of times people go too into the defense of Hitler talking about him like he was a pussy or something. That's not true at all. However, he wasn't a genocidal maniac. Jews are genocidal maniacs. They are lunatics. They will, and just look at the shit they do. Look how little they give a shit. Their little fucking pissant country has this enemy, Iran. Justifiably so. Like, the Iranians should destroy Israel. I support the Iranians in destroying Israel. I hope that they do. And, like, they're right, and their position in that conflict is completely right. But we have to spend our entire military budget. Now, everyone has to pay higher gas prices, and not just us. Europe is totally screwed. Other countries around the world are totally screwed. Like, fertilizers are getting cut off, like food supplies are going to go short in many countries, like all this shit, and that's going to lead to refugees into Europe. You better fucking believe it. If they have a hunger problem because of the strait getting shut down in like third world countries, that's going to lead to refugee problems, and Jews are going to be right there to welcome them in. It's just like they don't give a shit about that. And what's funny is so many people, when they're analyzing this war, they say, well, surely Trump is going to have to react to the, if nothing else, to the Americans feeling the pain of this right now, because our groceries and our gas is going up. He just says yesterday, did you see him? He says yesterday, I don't think about it at all. Right. Because he doesn't care. They don't give a shit about us. And so that alone is enough reason to just be like, all right, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's like, I do think the only real threat is a rising racial consciousness amongst white people and an awareness of who your enemy is because of, because they've painted themselves as that. That's the real point. You know, there's a whole lot of projection that happens where they say, oh, we see them as our enemy. It's like, no, 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 no. You see us as your enemy. Yeah. You want to extinguish us, and you're doing a whole projection. And how do we know? Because you say that about us, but yours isn't based on any evidence. It's based on your own like schizophrenia and guilt, because you know what you're doing and you're afraid that you're going to get found out.
Yeah.
And you know what you would do to someone else if you discovered them doing that. And so you project all that onto us. And to me, this is actually the real reason that Nick Fuentes is telling all of his voters to vote Democrat. I don't give a shit about all his bullshit reasons about punishing the right. That's all fucking fake. Because here's the deal. Hassan Piker, far left commie, Turk commie, who's an enemy of both of us, by the way, ethnically, so we can...
The Turks,
Yeah. You know, Turk commie, and then people try to fucking say that we aligned with them, which is, anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's not get into that. He's over there telling, he's out there campaigning to try to get young people to come back to the Democratic Party. Fuentes is campaigning to get white people to come back to the Democratic Party. I don't care that they each supposedly say they have different reasons, because at the end of the day, the result is going to be the same. Right. And that big Jewess who's all over the place, Batya Ungar Sargon.
The Whore of Babylon, as we call her.
She comes out and she's saying, she spoke about how Nick is now a Democrat and how this is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, they're loving that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, why? Why are they loving it? Because they want to have all the anti-Semites under one umbrella where they are basically immobilized, because the Democrats have a quote-unquote problem with anti-Semitism, but it's impotent because, first of all, it's so divided across all these different cultures that those people could never unite. They could never be a threat. And it's not a real potent anti-Semitism because it's based on the idea that Jews are just whites, and what they're doing in the Middle East is just another example of colonialism.
That's Jewish, though. Jews are the ones that put that's a Jewish narrative.
I'm fully aware that that's what it is. But
they don't all think that.
My point is that the left-wing anti-Semitism
to the extent they do that, Now, I've been engaging with some leftists over on this kind of issue, and I actually found a lot of them have been, you know, open to what we say. They used to never be, but it's difficult for them, because we used to always call it like Noam Chomsky, who's a Jewish guru, like leftist intellectual guru. He's the one that does the Israel doesn't control America, America controls Israel. And I would always fight with that.
The same talking point that Dave Smith repeated recently.
Yes, Dave Smith, a Jew.
Outed himself as another fake
I never trusted Dave Smith. But, I'll be honest with you, I never trusted Dave Smith. And people have told me before, like, he actually, long ago, when he was much less well-known, he actually wanted to be on The Daily Show. I said no, because he's Jewish. I mean, call me, like, again, I try to keep me consistent, right? But, because I was like, I was like, what do I need to talk to another Jew for? Because don't we hear, this is another thing, I was criticizing him. Why in every debate about Israel is it you? Why isn't there a Palestinian? Why are you the one always representing their side? And they do the same with white people. So, like, or why not just a white person? Why not anybody? Why is it only ever two Jews debating this? And that they take the other side as a way, they control the opposition. It's a thing, but it's a real thing.
Yep.
But yeah, what was I even talking about?
About the left's impotency around anti-Semitism.
Well, I think that to the extent that they Well, the proof is in sort of the pudding, right? So, like, that narrative, which, again, I left the Palestine movement years ago because I was very... One, it was anti-white stuff, and just the leftist thing generally, I got sick of how anti-white it was. This is even before I was so, quote-unquote, red-pilled. I just was like, this politics just, it's not... You know, I was doing, yeah, like, anarcho-Marxist. This is, like, 25 years ago, right? Like, this is a long time ago. But I was still I was anti the Iraq war. Like, I was still very much against the Iraq war. But, like, the anti-war movement was totally run by Jews. And they wanted the war. Jews wanted that war. And they made the anti-war movement retarded. And it was so annoying. Like, Al Franken, the Jewish comedian, was like, one of the main voices. And he was always saying, like it's the wrong war at the wrong time. I'm like, so that implies that, like, it would be right under, I don't know. It just, and they were getting, and again, they were leading. And you see how, you know, like, I wouldn't tell people to vote Democrat, but I wouldn't tell people to vote Republican either. I would tell people to vote for Dan Bilzerian, but that would be about it. I'm not going to endorse either party. The Republican Party, it's like, they're just, nothing changes. It's the same shit either way. And so I'm going to attack all politicians. And obviously, like, people are like, well, then what happens? Well, I don't really know. But I do know that, like, breaking the two-party monopoly is one of the best things that ever happened to the Jews. They run both. They get people squabbling about left versus right, this versus that. And, you know, people have gotten mad because I've stood up for, you know, when like, white liberals get victimized by blacks or by others, I will stand up for them. And people are like, you can't do that. Because, you know, it's like, I don't care, dude. Like, they're still, it's like, who knew what Irina, what's-her-name's politics were? Like, they found, oh, there's a room, she's in a Black Lives Matter poster in some room that she's
if
in. They're saying it was hers.
If that was
even her. If it was, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I agree. I don't care. Because you know what? The guy who slit her throat didn't care.
He didn't. Right. Exactly right. That's correct. That's exactly right. He didn't care.
And the Jews didn't care.
I don't care
the
because they
took
don't.
Her mural down, the Jews who took her mural down after she got her throat slit didn't care.
Right.
Didn't care right. that she had a BLM. They didn't care.
Right. I don't care because they don't care. And so, like, she's... Like,
and yeah,
right.
yeah, we do have to tribe up. And guess what? You know, when I was 25 and 26 and 27, I was a retarded liberal who would have, like, went to these protests for them. And you know what? Now I'm one of the most outspoken women
exactly.
on the right.
Exactly.
Because I got burned through fully taking on that ideology and carrying it to its conclusion, which was a dead end and self-destruction, and woke up, literally, I do think God woke me up, took me out of that, got me to see what was going on, and felt like I had avoided a near-death experience, and was like, I gotta tell people. They don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. That's why I was doing these things.
Yeah.
And I gotta help other girls, because they're the ones that are being targeted. They're being targeted by Judeo-satanic ideology that is turning them into whores, into yep. race mixers, mm-hmm. into fighting for the people who are going to rape them, into attacking their own men instead of having their back. And it's making them vulnerable
yeah.
to total destruction.
Right. That's a good point, because so many people want to blame women. Like, there's a huge thing too. That's another thing that the Fuentes people do, and it's not just them. A lot of people on the right, they do this.
It is a lot of them. Yeah.
And the reason, like, and you'll notice, like, or maybe I don't know if you do notice, I always stick up for white women. Like, I'm, I get made fun of.
White knight.
Well, it's not even that. Well, it's like people. I've actually never really been called a simp. Like, I don't really need to simp. I'm married. It's whatever. But like,
yeah.
But and I don't. I never like simp. Like, again, also like. I don't know. I've never needed.
Aren't
to simp,
men? Aren't like, men supposed to protect women? Isn't that
right?
The way
it's isn't it?
To go?
Isn't it? Doesn't reflect poorly on us, on men, if this is happening to women, and that. But yet, the meme is now put out there, and it's put out there by these extremely cynical. That like, oh, if you protect women, like you just get screwed. Okay, then what happens though? And people come in, they're like, Mike, you talk about the race question, you talk about the Jewish question, you're not brave enough to face the woman question. I'm like, bro, every man
that's
faces the woman question in his life, and you answer it when you get married or you get a girlfriend. Like, just get a fucking girlfriend. Like, yeah, women have, like, yeah, they can be fucking annoying. All right? Like, yes.
We can be retarded. This is one of my.
I know you agree with me, but because you do a lot of women's shit too. But it's like
I was actually retarded. That's
but women aren't
was.
In charge though. That's the main thing. Yeah. They're not.
That's
the
what
ones
I say
in
too.
Charge.
But, by the way, let me ask you, what happens if you attack women?
Nothing.
What happens?
Nothing.
What happens if you start blaming women?
Nothing.
What happens if you identify? You get a podcast. You get sponsorship deals. You get invited everywhere. You know, they love to hear me come on and talk about women's retardation. But when I then approach the subject of what is the cause, and I start naming the Jewish hand in feminism,
then they're like, we got to go for a break.
And this is one of my things. Yeah. Like, I don't counter signal, but this Nick Fuentes thing has been a sword of truth that has been dividing who's the real, who's fake.
Right.
And these people that go on that whatever podcast, I don't know if you know them.
I've
Andrew
seen
Rachel Wilson,
that shit, but like, I don't.
They're frauds now. Yeah. I can just see it. I'm like, no, you guys are frauds. You're total fucking frauds. And you might be some part of the same operation, because how are you an expert on feminism? You talk about the way feminism has ruined society. You're an absolute expert. And you have never come across the names behind the feminist movement.
Right.
And you've never put those things together and championed for getting them out of our ideologies, because it has led to this destruction. Well, I don't believe you.
You would be hard pressed to find a second wave feminist, which is the real toxic one, right? First wave feminism was like men shouldn't get drunk and beat their wives, right? Like, seriously, that's what it was.
I know.
Right? That
I know.
Was all the it was, whole, which is like, I can agree whole, with that. Like, I'm not even.
The whole women's suffragist movement was because these women were married to alcoholics who couldn't. Actually keep up their families, and these women were like, hey, my children are starving, I'm getting beat, I need a way.
It would be good for society this. Needs to be like, you know, condemn this and protect us. And that was all that was fine. Like, that didn't now, but then the second wave feminism comes around, it's all Jews, all Jewish. Like, I like, again, if you could, someone would love to come in and name like one that wasn't, and maybe you could find one. I haven't been able to. And every time I've looked, it turns out they actually were, or they were half or something. But like, yeah. Oh no, I gotta have to. All right, it went away. I might sneeze at some point.
All right, sure.
But like,
yeah, but that's the shit, man. That pisses me off to no end.
All right, there we go.
Bless you.
There we go. Yeah.
And it really pisses me off when. What they do is they bring these young girls in their 20s. And by the way, I'm not somebody who says, ooh, the old girls are victims. I'm like, okay, listen, if a bitch is going to be stupid, you kind of got to let herself experience the consequences of her actions and get burnt before she's going to be willing to turn around. And it might be a few times. Like, you can't, and this is a philosophy I have, male or female, like, you cannot spare somebody from the consequences of their actions, because that's the only way they learn. But to bring them on and debate them like there's some kind of power behind this movement, and you don't actually change anything. All that happens when these girls go on these shows is their OnlyFans subscriptions increase.
Well, girls that are on OnlyFans are inherently, like, again, they are morally corrupted, right? And they're not to be admired, but like, they are also in a way victims, which, again, it's difficult. When you advocate for a victim person who is a piece of shit themselves, right? Nonetheless, you have to look at the broader issue. And yeah, I wouldn't trust an OnlyFans whore. I would not. I would watch. I would count all the silver if one was in my house when she left. I'd make sure, But they wouldn't. But again, it's like.
But they're not the power behind that movement.
Right. They're not the power behind the power. And maybe some of them, it's like a heroin addict, right? Okay. Like, do not ever trust a fucking heroin addict ever. Don't let them in your house. Don't get anywhere near them. However, you know, they are on some sense a victim of a larger issue. And many, you know, some of them, maybe they got in because they were taking painkillers because a doctor gave them to them and then it went too far or whatever. But once someone's an addict, you cannot trust addicts. Like, they're dangerous people. Yep. They're toxic. They will steal. They will stab me in the back, whatever. But we want to stop more people from becoming like that. So like, they suck. And yeah. And feminism was a Jewish subversion tech. I mean, Kevin McDonald talks about it in his book, the whole of feminist movement and the way that was, of course, they would like to create this other division. And now, it's not like men have a lot to brag about. What men have been so great? in the last in the last like 100 years or so. Like, look at all the men out there simping for Israel. Look at all these dudes out there talking about like the Israel. Like, how look at these male politicians. Look at fucking Lindsey Graham. He's a fucking faggot. Yeah. Like fucking faggot out here talking about like how much he wants everybody to die for Israel. Look at like Ted Cruz, who's, you know, just these scumbags. Look at Trump, number one guy, strongest guy, and the most powerful man in the world. And here he is simping, like just, you know, cucking out for Jews at every single occasion, never opposing them, doing everything they want, throwing his own country, his own people, the ones that he relied on to get into office, the people that he made promises right. to. Throwing all of us under the bus for fucking kikes. Like, so are men so great? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's as if, you know, it's like, whose hands are clean? Like, shut up. Like, we have a problem here and we have to face it. And so, yeah. And I always find that those kinds of, that kind of stuff, it's like when people, it's like when you start talking about Jews, then people want to be like, well, no, it's this.
Yeah. They want to distract. With safer targets, yeah, by the way.
And that's a thing a lot of people want to do. I mean, you could see it all as like a unified thing, or you could see it as a lot of people responding to the same societal incentive because the Jews have so much power. I mean, I've seen people that are not part of any conspiracy just do it automatically because it's a scary thing when you start actually talking about the real thing. Like, you know, I could see people just like that never thought about it before. But suddenly, if you're, you know, you go on their podcast and they'll be like, oh, yeah, my producer, if you say that, like, forget about it. We're done. I mean, I think I saw you on one of these podcasts when you did this exact thing, like, a few years ago.
Yeah,
I
was on the Whatever podcast.
Yeah, yeah, I remember I was enjoying podcast. It because I was like, because you were, cause yeah, all they wanted to do was to bitch out women. And you're like, but wait. And then they were like,
yep. Yep. Oh, no, we're not talking about that. Yeah. We're not talking about that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and was it some dude that was there some guy that is like the guru of that was running it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The mega beta who has created an artificial environment in which he can be an alpha. That one, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I see. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, and
this looks so degenerate to me. Like, the whole thing just looks so fucking degenerate. But yeah.
And there was like I was arguing with this young college girl. She was like 21, and she was just saying all the Marxist talking points around this stuff. And you know, I corrected her. I didn't let her continue to say what she was saying, but I didn't have contempt for her because she's 21. She's in college. She's surrounded by this ideology that's telling her this. Me approaching her with contempt, what is that going to do? Is that going to change anything in her mind? Is that going to change anything in anybody's mind who's watching her? No, it's just going to make them all say, oh, what an asshole you are. What I actually felt for her was a genuine compassion and a desire for her to wake up and realize that the ideology she was following was going to drive her to a path of destruction. I'm not threatened by her ideology because I'm not going to be affected by it because I don't believe it and I won't behave on it. She is the person who's in danger of her own ideology. So to approach that person with contempt doesn't make any sense, because if you hate the person, then why would you be trying to correct them anyway from the ideology that's going to lead them to their destruction? You should actually encourage
them. Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, I have a lot of love for God's people and our people, and it hurts me to see them destroying themselves with no idea that that's what they're doing. That is a pain because I did it to myself in my youth. And you can't undo that.
Yeah.
You can come out of it. You can realize you were wrong. You can change your life. But those actions you did them. And there's nothing that can undo that. And that is painful. That is really, and you know, I know you're not a religious person, but I am. I believe that you are destroying God's creation. Like, I do believe in the God spark in at least white human beings. I believe that. I believe that God created us with a purity and a beauty and an integrity. And I believe that this demonic ideology truly wants to destroy that. So when I see these girls and I go, you know, the biggest joy for demons, whether you want to take that metaphorically or literally, is not them destroying you.
Oh, yeah, it's you destroying yourself.
It's them getting you to destroy yourself and thinking and being gleeful about it. Like, so I see that. I go, hey, every time you have a casual sexual encounter, you're chipping something away from yourself. You're destroying your ability to bond with someone, to experience deep love, to understand that you are not an object, to feel that kind of joy with someone. It can be restored, but it takes a lot of work and it's very painful, and it'll never be the way it was for, like, let's say somebody who's like 23, has never had any partners, meets the love of their life, gets married, has kids. That's their person. They don't ever experience being used and treated as an object.
Mm-hmm.
But you, when you do, when you have all those casual encounters, that's how you start to identify yourself as. And then the other person becomes an object. Then you can't really experience love the way that it's supposed to be experienced. Yeah. So you're destroying yourself. Yeah, that should hurt you. If you have any heart, if you love anyone, if you love your people, you should feel pain when you see your people doing that.
Yeah.
You should feel contempt for the people that encourage it. For the people that encourage it.
See, sometimes contempt is impossible not to have, but it's just as my, because I do sometimes have contempt, but like it's not.
No, no, no.
It's
I'm not saying you shouldn't have it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have it. You know, and again, I don't want to get to whatever, but my model obviously is Jesus. He didn't feel contempt for the prostitutes. He felt contempt for the priests, who were teaching the people the wrong thing. So my contempt is not for these girls who don't know what they're doing. It's for these, you know, podcast people who are bringing them on and encouraging it, and they know what's going on, and they don't want to talk about it.
Right. And yeah, well, that's what's funny is like that these I mean, just so much of it is encouraging this kind of behavior. Yeah, like
I have contempt. I have contempt and I have rage and I have a righteous anger for these people. But not for these people who don't know what the hell they're doing. And now, again, if there's some OnlyFans whore who's gone through it and destroyed herself, and then she's trying to enroll other girls to do it, I have contempt for her.
Yeah, at some point, people become, they cross the line and they become something that you have to. But yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, now,
I agree.
And, like, and that's not like, women, there's no like hard rule on that either. You just have to judge
women,
it, right?
There's women in their 40s and their 50s who never got married, never had kids, are miserable.
Yeah.
And instead of turning around and saying, this was wrong, I was wrong, don't do this, girls, they try to enroll other young women to follow the same path that they went through so that they don't feel bad because there's other people who ruin themselves, and then they don't have to face the truth they're wrong. I have contempt for you. Yeah. You should be destroyed.
Right.
Absolutely.
But anybody who has understood it and said, like, yeah, no, like this is, I was stupid, it was wrong, I was dumb, like you can't you have to show grace to those people, as you know.
What? Yeah, because that is an ultimate, like, hey, you're actually recognizing you're wrong, you're trying to warn people, you're a signpost. Right. Yeah, of course you got to show grace to those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always tried to be gracious to people that have admitted that they were wrong. However, I also, again, I'm not known as a nice person, and there's a reason for that. So I don't know that.
Well,
niceness
is overrated. I'm not talking about being nice. Niceness is overrated. I'm talking about kindness, goodness, and anger directed at the correct source.
Right. Well, I try to always direct it at the correct source, but occasionally I will direct it at people who are being dumb and calling them dumb. And I think that sometimes calling people dumb works because at some point, like. What else can you say other than you're being retarded? Like you're fucking being retarded. Like I can explain it to you, but also at some point, like, I can't allow you to take up all my time. So I will call you retarded. I'll make an example. And if you don't, and this has worked, there have been people that I have called retarded that have changed their minds. Now it's not, certainly it's not universal, but you know, I get a lot of people who are always like, well, you have to, one thing I get is that people then, who are wrong will want to like use the idea that you're going to be sympathetic or you're going to be understanding to try and like monopolize your time.
Absolutely.
And like take up all your time and get you to always. Like, so now you're always trying to work on them. And there's something I've always said, like when talking to people about politics, right? People have over the years always asked me like advice on how to red pill people, how to talk to people about politics. One thing I've always sort of said is like, well, if you're talking to people like in your life that, you know, you need to maintain the power relationship in the conversation, because if they get the understanding that you really need them to take your point of view, you're desperate for them to believe what you believe, you're trying to convince them that they're now the focus of the energy and you want to like convert them to something, or you want them to believe something, and that, then they'll sense, well, now I have like kind of a power. It's just natural. People will just take power in the most petty ways when given the chance.
Yeah.
So now they have this sort of power over you that you're begging them to do something. You want them to adopt your point of view. So they just won't. And they'll keep the conversation going, and they're going to enjoy that position where you're always trying to give them. So I'm just, no. You just be like, what are you, a fag? You don't think this? Like, everybody that's not a retard thinks this, you know, and or something like this, right? Whatever works. I mean, there's people you can also just be family, friends, like good friends. You can be open and honest with them about it, right? But if there becomes an adversarial relationship, then you can't be the lower one on the totem pole in that. You have to make sure you're on top and make them want your approval, right? So you have to change it. So it's like, what, you don't know about the Jews? Like, what, you don't think, what are you talking about? Like, everybody's doing this, bro. Like, you know? So you can't just allow people to be like a parasite on your time and your, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
I fully agree with that. Yeah. Some people just want to waste your time. They're never going to change their mind, or they're bad actors, or they are dumb and they're just not going to get it. And I agree. I don't argue with people like that. Like, you get like maybe one exchange, and then when you show yourself to be retarded, I call you retarded and I block you because I don't want to deal with you. Like, it's real simple. Yeah,
you get one exchange. That's how I deal. Or sometimes just none. I don't always even look at the comments anymore. But
Yeah. Well, if somebody comes straight out the gate, starts insulting me or whatever, I just block them. Like,
no, you don't need.
You're not gonna get. You're not gonna get that from me. Right. It's not happening.
Yeah. Plenty of white people can be retards and pieces of shit like that. Yeah. The people like, oh, you think like white people are perfect? No, believe me, I do not think that. No, but it doesn't matter because I'm white. So what am I going to do, right? Like, you know, it's sort of like, where does this idea come from that, like, oh, they have to be perfect or it's like, that's silly. Like, no one's perfect. That's retarded. Like, no, it's just, this is what I am. This is who we are. And it would be a tragedy of eternal proportions for the white race to be either destroyed or, like, whittled down to such a small, tiny group that we have no ability to affect affairs on planet Earth. Like, that would just be a disaster for everyone. So it's the worst thing ever. So but let's talk about we're getting a little heavy here, and you're a comedian. Let's talk about that Tim Pool thing you did, because I thought that was great. And the fact that
thank you
like, I was like, and I don't know, I didn't know, I wasn't sure, were any of those guys in that group, were any of them on your side? Were any of them?
No.
None of them were?
No, Ian, the guy with the long hair, kind of looks like a drummer or a Viking.
That guy's a fucking reed. That guy's so stupid. Like, I'm sorry.
But he was the only one who tried
to play a little bit. Yeah, he was looking stuff up and trying to back you up on something.
He did research it, and it was like, it was true. Mm-hmm. And then he had to kind of fall in line because
his boss didn't want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tim probably beats them behind.
Well, Tim Pool objectively is a fucking shill. Like, you know, he went. Yeah. You know, he had a private meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh yeah, you want to know what he told me at the off camera after?
Oh yeah,
finished?
I do want to know. Yeah,
he goes. Yeah, I met him, and he tried to come in and tell us like how we needed to, you know, talk about Israel being good and like reboost its image. And he goes, and he literally said this. He goes, you want to know what I said to him? And I was like, what? He goes, I laughed in his face. I was like, it's over, man. We don't have any chance of
doing
that.
He was tweeting that. I remember when he had the meeting, he was tweeting out.
You're such a liar. Yeah. You're such a compulsive liar.
I don't believe you fucking stood up to Benjamin Netanyahu. I believe that he would step on you like a little worm. Like,
you wouldn't have left that meeting alive.
The most powerful man in the world. Like, you would not have, like, yeah.
You laughed in his face. You laughed in his face. No, you got down on your knees and you sucked his little tiny penis.
Why are you invited to a private meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu? How did that even happen?
Thank you.
Like, why are you even a candidate for such a thing? Like, that's fucking suspicious. And, like, why didn't you use it? Why didn't you, like, do something? Like,
and the thing is, if you notice with him, he argues like a woman. He argues like a bad
God,
woman.
He's such a bitch. Yeah.
It's like, I'm like making really good points, and then he has to do things like a woman. You know, like, you ever been in a fight with like a pathological woman who you're
never
beating her, and she's got to throw in little jabs.
Beating
as
her
you're making
rhetorically.
Yeah. You're beating her with the arguments. I mean, I wanted to physically beat him.
You
that
probably could.
True.
He's a little twerp.
you know, I wanted to physically grab him and just strangle him because he's such an, well, you know, like I made these points, right? Yes. And he was like, and he'd come in and just throw little things back as if it was a gotcha. You know, I was like, yeah. I brought up the San Marcos thing and he goes, sounds like a Texas thing. I'm like, you're such a little faggot.
That's so, I literally, that's such bullshit because it's like, okay. It's first
but
of all, that's,
I, but, I, but, it, yeah. but it wasn't even the argument I was making. Even in my own argument, I said this is happening across every state, right. every city. Right. Here's an example. And you say, sounds like a Texas thing. Why shouldn't I slap the shit out of you? But, see, at this point, this is the point where yeah. if I was a man, I would just get up and this would be a physical altercation now because words aren't working and you're being a little faggot. And so now you need to get your ass beat. Right. I am 100% in support of things getting.